5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ow! I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
I actually was born in the Subiaco Hotel.
Put moron number two on the phone.
Conceived in the Subiaco Hotel.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime.
Listening to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
Feel good.
Oh, yeah, it's the middle of the week. We love this show, mainly midweek rub, second hour. Yeah. Jason Dunstall, Damien Barrett, everything footy, and there's lots to discuss.
Yep.
Speaking of footy,
what?
How about these for two guests? Kobe Stevens,
yes,
at his third club. Good player, perforated eardrum, but okay.
Yep.
And playing, and big game for them, of course, if there are any chance. And then a man who's retired this year, cult figure Dennis Armfield.
Dennis, Jim, you loved him.
Coming in here as well, big future for Dennis beyond playing footy. Going to find out what that is, and something that happened to me the other day I need to talk about as well. So, a bit going on. Hello to you, big boy.
G'day, Jimmy boy. G'day, listeners. Leroy.
We had a lot of sex. Lots of sex. A lot of success.
Do you know who that was?
No.
Sam Butler.
Oh, Sammy Butler.
Who retired yesterday, and he said, we're supposed to say we had a lot of success, and he said we've had a lot of sex.
Oh, maybe both.
Well, probably over
one
there.
One normally leads to the other, Bill.
In Perth,
yeah, exactly right.
If you're successful,
yes,
you do get a,
mm-hmm.
Oh, just look at one.
Oh, no.
Wow, me.
Oh, no. You're the opposite. You had no success and no sex.
It's been a while. Jim! Speaking of retirements, like Sammy Butler yesterday, another one over that way, Garrett Ibbotson.
Yes.
Interesting name, that, isn't it, Garrett? Where's that from?
I don't know.
Oh, come on, Jim. He's going to retire at the end of the year, which is one more game for him. Played 177 games, did Garrick.
For Garrick, not Garrett. I was going to say, I'm not sure.
Garrick, Jim, get it right. Jeez, you're a flog. 177 games, only kicked 22 goals. He's more
he's
a
defender, Bill.
Half-backer. So well done to you, Garrick.
Yes.
Two strong marking Hawks locked away, Jim.
Oh, yes.
Tim O'Brien, who does take a good mark.
Nice.
He's
number 23.
Yep. And James Sicily, who's had a bloody good year since he's gone back.
Yes.
Gave away 7 free kicks on the weekend. Did you see that, Jim?
I did see that.
That's how you play him. So he's just got to
niggle him a bit, you reckon?
Well, the redhead, he can't help himself.
Well, he's not as red as
O'Brien.
Hey, he's like Brereton style. No wonder the 23 sort of fits.
Well, exactly. Tim O'Brien's Tim McGrath style, isn't he? Very fire truck.
Dermot's actually gone. It's for so long frosted his hair that his hair, I reckon, will all fall out en masse. Every single follicle will just fall out of complaint.
He'll start looking like Johnny Platton.
Yes.
But, that'd be funny, because Doom was a redhead, you're right.
Oh, and then, as I say, he's had 30 years of trying to convince himself he isn't.
Mm-hmm. The Dogs, to give Cairns home games the boot, Jim.
Oh.
They're going to put all their input and time into Ballarat, of course.
Yes.
That was a success on the weekend. Mm-hmm. Well, it looked good, didn't it, on TV?
Mm.
What did you think?
Good day.
We were there first.
Good day is
you think
what
you're Peter Lawler, first bloke there.
What is any of that?
Peter Lawler. Do you know what he did, Jim, in Ballarat? You don't know?
No,
you do Peter Australian.
Lala, the bloke who writes for the
Peter
Sydney Herald Sun Cricket, very good journalist too.
Yeah, good. Well, he was the man who, I suppose, started the Eureka Stockade. You know why? Because they didn't want to pay taxes, Jim. It all got down to taxes.
Any relation to Georgie Lawler, the Nike superstar?
Layla Lawler. They didn't want to pay taxes to the cops. So a bit of Australian history for you kiddies.
Well done, Bill.
Yeah.
Everyone listening knows exactly what happened now.
Well, that's how it all started,
Jim.
Okay. Essendon will be without star defender Michael Hurley this week against Frio. We said that.
Yes, you did.
We said it was a calf. It might be more than one, and it could be two or three.
Yes.
Oh, now, Jim, this one. Fit Giants forwards, no guarantee to return. Rory Lobb and Stevie J are fit and ready to go for this Saturday night's game against Geelong down at Simmons.
Well, we did ask you whether your man's in or not.
And it would be interesting. And, Leon Cameron's a man. He said, one, they've got to pull up well, and two, we've got to select them. Stand by.
Righto.
Interesting, that one, Jim. I was talking to someone last night.
And?
Well, Steve is coming down for his favourite meal where he used to live down there at Geelong. Ordered, you know what he ordered? He actually orders through a meal. A roast beef and sticky date pudding.
At the Cremorne?
No, at a house that he used to live at.
Oh, I see.
Having a frothy with Rob last night at the bar, and he said, well, Stevie's in for dinner.
Coming in for dinner.
Yeah. And what about this one? The Floyd Mayweather.
Yes, Lord Maywag.
And don't get it, Dick.
Oh, yes.
And Conor McGregor, Jim.
What was his name again?
Floyd Mayweather, you idiot. What about Mayweather is saying that McGregor is overweight. He's at least 10 kilos over, Jim. Mm-hmm. And
oh, well, they're not going to fight now after all this.
Well, if they do fight and he's overweight, he gets a big, big fine. And it goes to Mayweather.
Oh, so if McGregor, Lord Mayweather.
Yeah, if McGregor's overweight, it goes to Mayweather.
What was his name again?
Lord Mayweather. Do you know how much he's valued at? Do you know how much Forbes valued Mayweather at, Jim?
What?
$428 million.
Well, you're getting 100 out of this fight.
$428 million, and he went to the press conference last week, Jim. You'll like this.
Yes.
With a $490,000 white gold Patek Philippe. You know what that is?
Patek Philippe. Yes, it's a watch.
Patek Philippe.
Yes.
And a $510,000 Hublot Big Bang Tourbillon.
What? Hublot. You are a fool. Of a man.
What is it? Hublot?
Yeah, it's an amazing. Well, so he had two watches.
He had two watches. Right. One was worth $490,000, the other one was worth $510,000.
And all because his name is this
Lord Mayweather.
That's it, Jim.
How would you get Lord?
I don't know, Bill.
But that's not bad watches.
No, nearly a brick's worth of just on your wrist. Oh. Now, Bill.
I want a watch.
I'll tell you what we've got. Dennis Arfield, not too
Rolex.
Far away. Bill.
Yes, Jim.
Tell you what happened to me.
What happened?
I go to the car wash earlier in the week.
Yep.
I get paid my $16. A very nice man behind the jump. Well, he's not actually behind the jump. He's walking around.
Yeah.
Does a very nice job of giving me a car a preliminary going over.
Oh, nice. A bit of a suds.
Just get it ready.
Yes.
In I go driving into the main thing, and you know where your right front wheel goes clunk over the top and then she starts.
That's very worrying, that, Jim.
Clunk over the top.
Yeah.
Nothing happened.
So you drove in.
Yep. Went over right-hand front wheel over the top, which normally gets it all started.
Moves on. And then you just slide through, Jim.
That's it, Bill. So I'm sitting there. Nothing happened.
Oh, no.
And 5 minutes later, I'm still sitting there with nothing happening. I look behind me.
Yeah.
And the bloke behind who'd given my car the once-over was then giving the next car its once-over, presuming that the thing was working. Suddenly it occurs to him that it's not working.
Nothing. Yeah.
And he can't get in.
What, you're in there?
The doors are shut.
Oh, so you're in there.
I'm stuck in there, Bill.
Oh, no.
With no thing working and no ability to get out.
Sucked in.
Bill, I'm stuck in a bloody car wash and old mate with the pink gloves on.
Yes.
Is trying to open the glass doors and they won't open.
Oh.
I'm parked in there.
So I'm just looking forward here, Jim.
Hence.
No. What are you going with here?
So hence.
Hence.
133353. I've given this a lot of thought. It happened to me Tuesday.
What?
Today's Wednesday.
Yes.
Happened to me a day ago.
What are you
24
going with?
24 hours ago. I've given it a lot of thought.
What are you going with?
Where have you been stuck? Unusual.
Oh, Bill, no. No, Jim.
Bill.
That is mine.
I've given it a lot
that
of thought.
That is my bloody idea. You
lot
can't go
of
with
thought.
That. I patent that.
I'm stuck in a bloody car wash for the best part of half an hour. Can't get in, can't get out.
You're a flog.
And therefore, I thought of it, Bill.
Jim,
as I was lying in bed last night, I thought, how do I turn this into something the family will enjoy?
I'm the ideas man, you
so
know that.
I went with, where have you been stuck, unusual? Bill, look at him come. Oh, Michael C's already there, Benny's there, Adam's jumping in. They're coming from everywhere.
Peyton Brownless.
Oh, yes, please. Now, Bill.
Yes, Jim.
I got stuck in the car wash. My car was in there for a good 20-odd minutes. The glass door's locked and no one able to get in or out and the thing's broken and I'm stuck.
And?
So I gave it a lot of thought last night. How do I turn this into something the family will enjoy? And I've come in with, where have you been stuck, so, unusual?
You're a thief.
Caroline joins us from Geelong.
Kaz.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Caroline. Where have you been stuck?
In a cemetery.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Well, I was there with my boyfriend at the time, about 25 years ago.
What were you doing?
And, well, doing the right thing, visiting the peeps and, you know, just kind of showing our respect.
Oh.
And stayed a little bit of past time.
Oh, Jim. And, Jim, listen to Caroline.
Hey, Kaz, that's got a few holes in it.
Yeah,
that's
what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
And, well, they closed the gates on us and locked us in.
Oh,
so, we had 50 cents between the two of us, which in those days you could only put 20 cent pieces in the public phone thingos.
Yeah.
So we called Triple O, and the public policeman that turned up was like, there's nothing I can do, and came up with the bright idea of, why don't you just shoot the lock? And he had decided that was going to be disturbing the peace a bit too much.
Right.
And I'm like, it's a cemetery. come on. No one's going to wake up.
Where were you?
Springvale Cemetery.
Springvale?
Yeah.
You just went there to pay your respects, Carol.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. I'm hearing you.
Speaking of Geelong, Jim, I know where I got stuck. The Lyric Nightclub.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it happened again and again
every
and again.
Every Sunday night I'd get stuck in there at bar three.
That's too funny. Well, speaking of Geelong, Michael's down there. Hello, Mick.
Oh, Mickey boy.
Hey, mate, how are you?
Good, Mick. Where'd you get stuck unusual?
I got locked in a bank when I was in London.
How'd that happen?
When I arrived, I set up a bank account here in Australia and I had to go pick up a debit card and a credit card.
Yep.
So I caught the bus there, got there a bit late, must have been 4:45 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Got taken upstairs to see the bank manager to sign all my details, sign for the cards and that. And they said, the time I got all that done, they said, I'll just go downstairs through the door back into the main lobby and then find your way out.
Yes.
Yeah, no worries. So I went down and got down there and everything's locked. The door behind me closed with a security number on it. So I'm actually locked in the main part of the bank. And I'm like, I can't get out. I'm yelling out. No one could hear me. And so I end up having to go out through an emergency exit after about 15 minutes. And I was waiting for police and everything to come. But no, nothing ever happened. But
jeez.
Yeah, locked in a bank.
I like it.
Just a long one there.
Oh, very good. Tyson's in Langwarrinville.
How you going, fellas?
Hey, good man.
I was sitting in the left lane on the way home from work on Collins Street, waiting to get on King Street.
Yeah.
And I thought, geez, the left lane's moving really, really slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting there for about 10 minutes. The other lane was going quite quick. And I realised that the car in front of me was broken down.
Oh, no.
So you're stuck in the left lane.
Behind a car.
Yeah, and then no one would let me in to get back in.
Oh, Tyce.
So I was stuck there for about 20 minutes.
Come on, Tyce.
So he's... Tyce reckons he got stuck in the left lane.
I like it, Bill. Oh. Pete's in Bundoora. Hey, Pete.
Hey, guys. How you going?
Where have you been stuck, unusual?
Well, mate, I got stuck in the back of my van. I jumped in the back to grab a parcel.
Yeah.
The door slides closed.
Yep.
I try and open it. Childproof locks on. Couldn't get out. I'm stuck in there. I was in there for about 2 hours.
Oh. How'd you get out? You had to raise the alarm with someone.
Well, I had to ring someone because people were walking by and thought I was crazy. They wouldn't stop to open the door for me. So I had to ring a friend to come down and get me out.
Ring a friend?
Yeah, exactly.
2 hours, Pete. Are
you a postie or something, Pete?
Mate, it was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah,
I left it down.
Right. Well done. Bill, look at the family enjoying it.
Geez.
Ralphie's in Geelong. Jeez, we get a lot of callers from Geelong.
Hey, Ralphie.
How you going, Bill?
Good, Ralphie.
Jim, how are you?
Good, mate.
Been for a palmy today at the Cremorne?
Oh, no, I'm in the truck, mate.
All right.
Yeah. I got my head stuck in a monument when I was 5.
What?
Yeah, Mum and Dad were doing something. I climbed up the top of this pyramid-type deal and I had a bell on top. And I tried to get through and my head got stuck and the CFA had to come cut me out. Very embarrassing.
Head got stuck in a bell.
Where were you, Ralphie?
In stall. Very exciting.
Stall. There'd be nothing to do in stall, Jim.
Yeah, I think that's why I left.
Four-year-olds.
Come on, racetrack. All right, let's get to Rosebud. Shay's there, Bill.
Shay.
Gentlemen, how you doing?
Good. Touché.
Now, I was when I was an apprentice, I jumped up in a roof with my A-grade. He went one way, like we're doing some work. He went one way back down where we came from, and I knew another manhole. But what I didn't realise was, I looked down the manhole, there's no ladder, but I thought, you know, I can make this, and I dropped from the ceiling and... went to get out, and this door was locked from the outside, so I was stuck. And the window in that room was frosted, so no one could even see me in there screaming. And I was stuck in there for maybe half an hour before anyone noticed that I was even gone. I guess I didn't do that much.
Someone's house?
Yeah, like a client's house.
Like a bedroom?
No, it was a storeroom. It was a high-end house. I had to, luckily, my A-grade end up eventually finding me stuck in this room.
Oh, for Jim, they're slow on your topic. They would think they can talk for an hour.
Stuck unusual.
Oh, but I tell you, we got stuck then for 20 minutes. Jim, we got stuck for 20 minutes then.
What are you doing, Fat?
I might have a spell.
Intermission.
And now, a message from our sponsor.
G'day, Mark Howard here. A year ago, I started the Howie Games podcast, which has given me a fantastic opportunity to chat with some of the biggest names in world sport. The Howie Games aims to bring you stories you haven't heard before, like this one from Melbourne Cup winning jockey, G Jim the Pumper Cassidy.
I got the grey nurses, the $100 bills.
The big hundreds.
Changed into 20s. So and my mate said, what are you doing that for? I said, I'll show you. So we got back to the hotel room, pumped, took all his gear off, got the Melbourne Cup whip, tipped all the money on the bed. And for 1 hour, I was literally just rolling in cash.
You can listen to the Howie Games at podcast1.com.au or via the Podcast One app.
Now, back to Triple M's Rush Hour podcast.
Joining us in studio from Carlton, it's Dennis Armfield.
Oh, Dennis.
Dennis.
Oh, nice to see you, mate. How are things?
Things are very well, mate. Things are very well. Thanks for having me today.
Are you settled down now that you've made the announcement that you're finishing up? Is it sitting comfortably with you?
Yeah, very comfortable, mate. Looking forward to the next part of life. I'll be sad to see football go. Obviously, 10 years is a long time, but yeah, definitely settled. And now it's on to what the hell comes next, I guess.
Mm. And you can still play this week. You're still available for this week's big game.
Yeah, body's good. So I'll get in and knock down Bolts' door and see how he goes, mate. But yeah, look, whatever's best for Carlton, mate, that's my priority.
Oh, what do they say? Are they a club that enjoys the farewell game, or is Bolts more, look, I want to get a game into the kid that's going to play for us next year?
Oh, look, I haven't actually probably sat down and had that conversation with him. I've just sort of said to him whatever he thinks is best for Carlton, and if that's the youth, we'll do that. If that's me, well, I'll love that as well.
And that's Saturday, 4:35 up at the SCG. Carlton won't be playing finals, Jim, so fair to say you'd have a nice sip after that.
Well, I would have thought.
And then maybe one Sunday. And you got Mad Monday. You got Mad Monday coming up, D.
Oh, look, mate, I don't have to really worry about much after this week. But look, focus on Sydney, get the job done, hopefully finish off the year strong. And then we'll worry about the rest after that. Our VFL side's still maybe alive, so there could be a few boys held over with that.
What are you wearing Mad Monday then?
No, that's a secret. You'll probably see a photo or two. We'll see that.
Yes, we will.
Always nice, Bill. Well, it's never nice to have the final game where you can't play in the big stuff. But if you can't do that, it's nice to have your final game interstate, whether you can just get around the 22 blokes and just have a quiet little time of reflection, Dennis.
Yeah, look, it's always away trips are always good. I've valued every single one of them. And yeah, to finish off my career, hopefully at Sydney, will be good fun. And I'm sure I'll, celebrate and mourn, I guess, at the same stage.
Never received a Brownlow vote. Is that true, D?
That's 100% true.
Got one vote. With your stiff run and your dash and all that, I would have thought you'd get one.
Oh, mate, very stiff, I think. too unselfish, mate, too unselfish.
144 games, not one vote. Do you know who leads the pack, Jim, without getting a Brownlow vote? We'll throw that out there and see if anyone can get it.
Have you done some research?
I just know off the top.
No, you won't. So you must have got someone within this office to do it for you.
Anyway, Dennis, you grew up. You're playing rugby union. Tell us about that over in WA. I'm sure you've told it a few times, but it intrigues me, these cross sports.
Yeah, a little bit different, mate. My old man was a rugby union boy, so I just followed in his footsteps and made the move to Perth from Canberra. And yeah, just played rugby, mate. Enjoyed it, loved it. And yeah, still do watch it probably more than footy.
You do?
Yeah, love me rugby. And
you watch New Zealand put on about 40 points in the first half?
Yeah, it wasn't the greatest, but we've got to take a couple of whacks, I guess, to go forward.
No, we've taken way too many
whacks.
A lot
of whacks.
That's about 10 straight years of copping whacks.
Yeah, well, it's hard to beat them, I guess.
There's only so much getting bent over by a nation that bends sheep over before we get finally annoyed about it.
Are they the greatest team ever of all teams?
Oh, definitely.
The hardest to beat at home?
Oh, they just live and breathe rugby, and that's their only sport, whereas we've got a few sports in Australia, and that's what they live and die by. So, yeah, very hard to beat.
Anywhere, Bill. On the road, they're amazing.
They're
an incredible setup. I see that Twiggy Forrest has offered the AAU $50 million, and they turned him back.
Yeah. Well, now he's
got... Sport's obviously going okay.
Wants to start his own league, too, now.
He's richer than the AAU, so...
He is.
Where's he been, Twiggy? Because we haven't seen him.
He's making a fortune north of
I know
Western
where he's
Spain.
Been, you idiot, but with the Perth side, I haven't seen him for only the last 6 months he's popped up. Now, tell me this, Dennis. 15th this year, Carlton. They've won 6 games. Last year, you won 7. Now, we've had a few arguments. Kane Corns reckons you haven't improved. I reckon you have. You've lost one game less this year, but there's the NAB Rising Stars, and also you got a good forward in Curnow now. What would you say to that?
Oh, mate, we've definitely improved. If you look at our games and our competitive nature, I think we're in a lot of games. Last quarters have probably cost us. We've been in the lead of many games this season, 6 or 7, I think, that we've ended up losing. So, you know, you look at that compared to probably the year before. Yes, we got more results and yes, we got more wins on the board. But I think also our losses were much worse and our competitive nature wasn't as strong. And then you go on to say about the young blokes. they're unbelievable. I think, what, five or six
yep.
rising stars is, you know, unheard of. And they're just going to take that club in a very good spot, mate.
I reckon that. I reckon, and it's all a developing, and you're slowly getting there. The only problem I see is you haven't kicked 100 points this year once.
Yeah, but if we can stop teams from kicking goals, I guess we don't have to score 100 points to win a game. And look, Levi's working really hard. I think he's had a really good season this year, and I'm sure the club will add to that, and yeah, we'll address that over the off season and see where they go with that.
Is that what you reckon they need? A tall forward? Is that the main thing you would need?
Oh, look, I don't know. You look at Richmond, and they've gone the small way as well, and that's working for them. So, look, that's for Soss and his party to come up with the idea, and along with Bolts, and I'm sure I'll be sitting back having a few froths next year, having a watch and see what they do.
Talking about Charlie Curnow, very, very talented young man. His brother Ed Curnow, how's he going? We spoke to him on Triple M Footy. He had the trachea, and it got bloody serious there for him for a while. Is he tracking okay now?
Yeah, look, it's probably a good thing. It keeps him quiet, which is good. But no, look, he's tracking very well. I think they just played the cautious track with that. We can't be silly when it comes to your voice box and
also your airway.
Yeah, well, exactly right. So look, they've put him under wraps, and you know he's gone really well, and he's playing a vital part at the as a leader at the club, and you know he's helping a lot of young boys out.
All right, we need to find out what this man's doing next, Bill. What the next chapter is for our
but
man,
Jim. We've got a montage here,
he's already heard this.
A collection of stuff that Triple M have done. Have a listen to this. This is a montage of you, Dennis.
Dennis turned around to confront Williams, and the ball had gone over his head. Oh, now Williams, look out, Dennis! Yes! Dennis! That's what he's out there for.
Number one, who kicks another one forward. Dennis, I'm here.
Dennis, yes!
Put them through.
Oh, fella, Dennis! Dennis runs in. Dennis on field. Look at Dennis go. He's bloody run out of his head. Dennis! What about Dennis? Underground, Dennis! Dennis!
Oh, magic!
On the ground!
The magic man!
Oh, what are we dealing with? Dennis!
Special guest, retiring Carlton player, Dennis Armfield.
Cult figure Dennis, of course. And tell us what's coming up next for you. Jim Stein's Community Leadership Award winner in 2015. You've always done lots outside of just playing footy, but now you've got to concentrate on life after footy. What's that going to look like?
Yeah, look, hopefully I can win the lotto, mate.
Bill and I are already winning.
Oh, well, fair enough. Look, I've got a few things in the pipeline. Obviously, I'm really into my welfare and my player roles and developing young kids as well. I love the women's footy. So, look, hopefully I can tie the two together and stay involved with football. But look, I'm sort of open to anything. Obviously, my passion's to help people. Live to give's me motto. So hopefully I can get a job that can let me do that.
Well, we've already got someone made contact with us, Bill.
We have. A mate of mine, g'day, Bill, got a spot for Dennis in the midfield at Winchelsea.
Oh, yes, please.
Next year, if you're interested. Now, nice little spot there. That's from Brendan, who's tied up.
Who do they play against?
Well, they play...
like South Barwon and all that? No, further out?
Drop, yeah.
Oh, hello. No.
But
what do you mean
by get a run?
The Parish boys are from Winchelsea, actually. They plays for Essendon, and one playing at the Falcons goes right too.
I hear this.
But you'd have a few teams, have you, that have been ringing up?
Not really, mate. Oh, I've stayed on the low key, sort of. I just want to enjoy my last bit of AFL career while I've got it, and then I'll wait for all that to come.
Well, you were down our way too. I see you got married in November last year, but this looks magnificent. Down the Bellarine Peninsula, Jim.
Yes.
And guess what? This is the wedding here. The bridal car was your combi van.
A cream-coloured combi, Dennis.
Yeah, why not, eh?
And then you had teepees. Did you actually stay in the teepees, or was that where the ceremony
was? No, that's just where the reception and that was.
In a big teepee, Jim.
Yes.
And then also had a vintage ice cream trucks, fire pits. Oh, so nice. It was all a bit different.
Yeah, a little bit alternative. That's probably my wife. She likes to do things a little bit different. So, no, it was a great day. Really happy with it. And so far, so good with the marriage as well.
Still married. That's going well, mate.
Going
well
strong, done. Mate.
Abby, a Melbourne girl?
Yeah, Abby's a Melbourne girl. So, yeah, I'll be a Victorian now.
No thoughts of going back to Swan Districts?
Look, Davey Ellard's probably tried to poach me a couple of times. Yes. But, yeah, look, it's not on the top of my radar.
Real scrubby part of Perth.
Please, mate.
What is it?
That's God's country, that is. Eastern suburbs. You get off a plane and you turn right in Perth, you're in all sides.
Yes.
you got to do the city and then just keep going past
Claremont? Claremont's your spoon, your silver spoon?
Oh, Yeah, just don't get me started.
No, I'll tell you, Des Dennis knows what Claremont is, and that is an AFL footballing factory. Brian Taylor talks about Geelong and these sort of places. You go back through the Claremont Football Club, Bill, they have provided the AFL with more superstars than any joint ever.
Who was a Brownlow medalist? Played for Essendon.
Graham Moss.
Yeah, that's him. Old Moss and Dale. Yep. Hey, the best player in the comp. Now you're finished.
Yes, come on.
This
year. Well, he hasn't finished. He plays his last game this
year. Yeah, that's right. You and Matty Boyd. Who's going to get the Brownlow this year? Who's going to win it?
Oh, look, it's hard to go past Dusty, especially with Dangerfield gone now.
Yeah, all right. Who's the best player in the comp then, in your eyes? Dusty?
Best player. Oh, it's a very tough question. I'd probably go Dangerfield just because of his impact in the game as well. And he's probably been consistent and great to watch. And I've played on him many times and I rate him very highly.
Best team in the comp?
Oh, Carlton.
Other than Carlton, of course, yes. Other than Carlton, mate, yes.
Best team, well, probably Adelaide Crows. Yeah. They're playing some really good footy, and, you know, my connection with Eddie Betts as well is pretty strong. So
Eddie Betts.
I'll put that on there.
Is the season too long for AFL players?
No, not at all. I think there's other ways to run it, but it's not long at all. I think sometimes pre-season's too long. When you have a pre-season that's longer than your season, that's a bit weird. But, no, the season's good fun, and, look, now that it's over, I think playing 23 rounds, 22 games a year, I would love to do it again.
Would you? What would you do then if you could change it a little bit? Pre-season shorter, as you said?
Yeah, look, I'd probably just play everyone once and then maybe go into that sort of, you know, that break the competition into brackets and then go from there. And then that way you get rid of tanking speculation, I guess, and then you can see who's really striving to finish off the year strong.
That's what you'd been talking about, Jim.
Well, 20 rounds, I always said. 17, obviously, each team playing each other. And then I thought you might have three theme rounds, like, you know, opening round and, you know, rivalry round and heritage round or whatever. So then you can get Carlton playing Richmond twice a year and you make your money out of the big blockbusters, Essendon, Collingwood, all the rest of it. But for me, and it's only my view, and I am not a current player, so we're listening intently to what you have to say. 22 rounds over 23 weeks, for me, is just way too long. And I reckon, Dennis, we get to this time of year and see some real junk footy served up. Tired blokes, teams that are cooked and can't make it. I just reckon we drag this last bit on too long.
Yeah, definitely. I sort of agree. Not so much that it's dragged on so long. I think it's just the fact that, you know, boys do get tired at this time of year, but it's sort of, I guess, on the contrary to that, it ramps up come finals football.
Oh, yeah,
so, there's definitely that, you know, avid interest at that time of year as well. But look, that's for the AFL and I guess the players, I guess, to come to a conclusion and see what goes on there.
We got the All-Star Girls game coming up this next weekend.
Yes.
So the Legends on Friday night and then the All-Star. That's it, Bill. Yeah. All-Star game Saturday night. It is a sensational product that the last two games they've done. If you want to see football played skillfully and quickly, it is just extraordinary.
Well, do you know?
Yeah, look, the women's footy took off like exceptionally well. I think no one really expected it to do what it did, and this match will be amazing. Victoria versus the Allies. Mm. You know, you got that bit of rivalry straight away already in the girls, and I know a fair few of them are pretty keen to put on a good show. You know, with the week off in the men's competition too, what better thing to do than get down and support the girls and watch a great spectacle?
It rated enormously last year, Bill. And it's like the old State of Origin for the men, where it's a showcase game and it's quick and it's skillful.
Well, they're in the big V jumper too, the girls.
It is just a brilliant thing.
And I think we were all surprised last year, Jim. We turned it on and thought, oh, we'll have a look at this, give it 5 minutes. And then you're watching it the whole game.
Compelling.
You're going, geez, they can play.
Not only can play, and you're involved in the women's game, I wonder if this is the case, whether because a lot of the girls haven't played since they were five or six, they don't actually know how much danger they can put themselves in. So they're going back with a flight on the 45 and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, look, I think that's probably something. You saw a lot of injuries in the women's football and that's something that they'll learn. But yeah, look, it's also a spectacle that's great to watch. They just crack in. We've got some two bulls at our club with Katie Loins and Sarah Hosking that just only know one way, and that's through the person and to the ball. So, it's great to watch. It's like I said, it's been awesome to be a part of, and hopefully I can stay a part of it.
Did you see Josh Kelly get barreled by Josh Kennedy on the weekend?
No, I haven't.
Oh, man. That, you won't miss that.
You
know, going back,
straight up,
he did bounce straight up, but where a player's got no idea someone that size is coming and then ends up doing the full 360 in the air, and you think that's it, Bill.
Yeah,
you think stretcher and all over.
He would have been just jogging along and then bang, like hit by a tram, running across
Bill,
Clarendon Street.
With no idea it was coming.
I told you the rain was coming, Jim. Have a look at that.
Oh, no.
Armageddon.
What was that, Bill?
It's the end of the world, isn't it, D?
Look at Dennis.
Come
just,
on, D.
Dennis, you've just seen firsthand this man slaughtering of the English language.
Ah, it's okay.
What are you doing now?
We've all done it. We've all done it.
So you play Saturday, you get on the frothy Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Dale won't be happy with you, but it's the first year, so you'll be all good. And then your new life, play a bit of golf, get another hole in one.
Yeah, hopefully, mate. Yeah, look, the golf game's taking a bit of a whack. So, look, we'll, it's exciting times ahead, mate. I'm looking forward to seeing what's out there and, attacking it head on again.
Well done, mate. Yes. 10 years at a footy club is a wonderful thing. You've played 144 games. Make that 145 on the weekend. Good luck with that and everything that's coming up.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
See you, champ.
Thanks. What are you doing, Fat?
I might have a spell.
Intermission.
And now, a message from our sponsor.
The following is an official announcement from the Australian Government.
Over the past few years, thought crime has reached record levels. Subversion is rife. Our enemies are everywhere.
Trust no one.
Luckily, there is an answer.
Peter Dutton.
No, not Peter Dutton.
Thank God.
Introducing a new series on Podcast One that interrogates the real threats to Australia, like John Safran, Rob Sitch, and children's author Andy Griffiths.
Oh, God, I love those Treehouse books.
Who will survive? Who will fail? Introducing Extreme Vetting with The Chaser.
The Chaser.
The only show with the power of life and death over its guests.
Listen at podcast1.com.au or via the Podcast One app.
Now, back to Triple M's Rush Hour podcast.
Toby Stevens not far away. Looking forward to chatting to him. Midweek Rub, of course, in this hour as well.
Yes.
Now,
what?
I've got a couple of little quick ones I need to read out.
Yes, please.
Social media. Where have you been stuck unusual before you give us the winner?
Yep.
Glennie Wiedemann at Weedo04. I get stuck on the Monash Freeway every day. Oh, here. I feel your pain having driven up 3 years in the bloody row. Yep. And then Greg Carroll, we like him. Fig Jam, 1965. Greg's a regular. Bill giving history lessons. No wonder the country's stuffed. This is Peter Laylor, the nice cricket journalist from the Sydney Morning Herald.
Yeah, he discovered the Eureka Stockade.
Thank you, Bill. And Marcus Rogash, welcome back. Topics Brayshaw, sounds like he's taking a lesson from Topics Brownless.
He has.
Did not. Thought of it myself.
Hashtag unusual.
But Bill, you posed a question and we've got an answer and a winner.
The player that has played the most games without getting a Brownlow vote. And we had a lot of Jason Blake and Alapate Carlisle. But the man was... The great Tom Lonergan.
Domsey.
Played, 206 games now. We're not sure how many votes he's got this year because he's played a couple of good games. But he is on top of the tree there, unfortunately.
Most games without a Brownlow vote.
Yeah, Domsey. And the first one in was Michael Myers. Hashtag Austin Powers 699. And he has won this.
Nina and Pasadena clothing package. Thanks to ninaandpasadena.com.au.
All right, let's get Kobe Stevens involved in the show. Very good young player. And we want to find out what's going on at St Kilda.
It was a drop mark from Stevens, but he shows a bit of candy after he's picked it up. Continues to run. He's 20 out. He's put it through.
Kobe Stevens, Bill, 88 games with three clubs. West Coast Eagles started, and of course Western Bulldogs played fine football for them and then moved across to the Saints, going beautifully. Kobe, welcome to you.
Thanks for having me, boys.
Now, you perforated your eardrum when you bashed heads with my nephew, who has got one of the largest heads in the comp.
Yes, it did hurt a little bit, mate. I was happy to see him get up, but yeah, it was a pretty big hit.
You must have looked up in the whole eclipse of the sun via the size of his swede.
Well, he actually messaged me that night, and my text message reply was, mate, do you have metal in that helmet? Because it actually really hurt when he hit me.
Thank God he had the helmet on then.
Yeah, mate. My first thought was, as soon as I saw who it was, I was just like, oh no, it's not Brayshaw again. And he got up and I was pretty happy.
Yeah, good one. Hey, you've had an unlucky type of a season, haven't you? You had the food poisoning very early on.
Yep.
What did you eat there, do you know?
We're up in Albury and a bit of chicken, mate, and then end up in hospital for about 7 days, lost about 8 kilos.
You're in hospital for 7 days?
Yeah, I had really bad salmonella, so not a pleasant time, Bill.
So all your condition drops off and...
Yeah, lost a lot of muscle, rocked up to training and just looked like a completely different person.
Oh, man. And then you got suspended, sus sling tackle type thing, which...
Yeah, we won't talk about that one.
Yeah, but you got suspended. And then you've had the eardrum, so it's one of those... And you had a bit of bad luck last year, didn't you, with the dog? When you got the sore groin.
Yeah, I got the sore groin at the end of last year, but it always seems the way when I'm up and flying and playing some really good footy, something seems to happen. But look, I'm just looking to finish the season really strongly.
How are you now? The head all right?
Head's good.
Yeah, concussion test.
A couple of headaches early in the week, but all good.
Can you hear?
Yeah, I can hear all right.
What?
And you get to farewell the great Nick Riewoldt this week, yes. And that will be a great focus for all of your club. I mean, and there is a miracle scenario that could see you play first week of finals, but likely that won't happen. So you get to farewell the superstar.
Yeah, obviously we had our last home game on the weekend, and that was a pretty special event to see all the St Kilda people come out. And, you know, he's a player that you probably won't witness like that again. He's, you know, an amazing talent, and I've only spent a year with him, but just the way he goes about his footy is unbelievable.
Are you amazed at the stuff he carries on with before the game? I have a strong view that he could have played another 100 games if he hadn't done that for... you have to be at the ground to see
He's still not doing it as much
not
as he...
Not as much, no, but yeah. Bill, he would put an hour in out there of sort of fartlek running and wind sprinting before you even bloody started.
Yeah, he loves it, mate. I couldn't believe my first game. He was out there 3 hours before everyone was even getting ready, having a run around. It's pretty amazing.
Does he do what? And he obviously trains hard.
Yeah.
Does he carry on like that before training? Or
No, not really. Obviously, since I've been at the club, his training has tapered away a little bit because he's, you know, an older bloke and body gets a bit sore. But when he does train, he trains like a maniac. Mm.
Yeah. And the other one, of course, Joey Montagna. Yes. We'd like to see him stay on, I dare say, for another year.
Yeah, not sure what's going on there with Joey, but hopefully something will come out of that in the next few weeks.
You know, he's actually calling the footy this Friday night for Triple M.
Yes, I actually heard a snippet of him the other week and he sounds really impressive.
You heard him, Jim?
No, I haven't. Oh, I'm looking forward to
you
it.
You could get him on 7. Well, Jim's going to 7. He's taking the big
money. Yes, I have heard, coach. Taking the contracted runner.
He is an absolute fool. That fat man in the black T-shirt to your right is a fool.
Now, look good in black.
The sea lice that gobbled up that young man's legs.
Don't tell me you jumped on
Bill,
the wagon.
Bill, it ate his legs. That bloke, amateur footballer, ate his legs off.
No, they didn't.
They did, Billy. Ended up with stumps. So you boys
don't
nearly
tell
had
me
the
you
same
tried
thing.
To get a story out of this and jump off. Oh, saying man. I was thinking of going down
they
there.
They have blown this out of proportion. Oh, we were actually supposed to have recovery that morning, and our head fitness staff sent an email through to all the boys saying, probably not in your best interest to go down to the water.
Jeez. So then there's a story. You were going to go down there. You're nearly there. You're going to get your legs eaten off too.
Yeah, they can run with it.
Jeez, mate. You're trying to get some headlines off, Cobe. Come on, Cobe. Fair dinkum. Now, we're going to ask everyone this that comes in. Is the season too long, Cobe?
Ah, Jesus. This is a bit of a stitch-up, is it?
No, it's not. This is just a question.
I would personally, I would love to play every team once and then go into finals looking fresh and looking forward to it.
Mate, I reckon that makes sense.
Because if you think about it, we'll probably start training November 21 this pre-season, and then we'll be rolling through to this time next year. Yeah. So it's a good 9 months of just smashing yourself.
And the body, how is it now? Because you've got all the little niggles.
Yeah, the body's feeling really good. Obviously, like I said, it's a long season, but got some great staff helping me out, which is great.
Well, you miss a couple of weeks there.
I know.
Old sling tackle, old Jim.
We'll get through a full season one stage.
What is it about the Saints at Etihad and then away from Etihad? Because your win-loss ratio at Etihad is extraordinarily good. And not as good elsewhere, including the G. What do you reckon?
Yeah, including the G. Well, we've only played there once this year, so it's pretty tough. It's a different environment once you get there. The ground's a lot bigger. But look, I don't know. We seem to fix a few things when it comes to travelling this year and won a few away games. But when you go to places like Adelaide and play teams that are running right over there, it's a pretty tough place to play. So obviously we've got a young list, so we need to fix a few things and get those immature your little things out of our way.
Right. I want to talk to you about what you're doing after the season, Bill. That's always of interest to
Sunday,
us. Whether
Jim.
There's, well, not only Sunday, but trips and
college lawn
stuff.
From the Saints, Kobe Stevens.
Now, Richmond St Kilda, of course, MCG Sunday, 3:20 p.m. that game.
3:20, Jim.
That's it.
Say 6:30, 7 o'clock, college lawn.
Well, before we get to that, open training session. Tomorrow, 11:30 a.m. down at Seaford. Barbecue drinks available. Following training, the players will be signing autographs, so get down to Seaford. 11:30 a.m. tomorrow, all Saints fans, of course, before the final game of the home and away season, Richmond St Kilda MCG. Now, what are we doing afterwards, Copes? Because the Saints long been very, very famous for enjoying the first week or two after the season finishes.
Not sure what's going to happen in the first week or two. Obviously, everything's going to go our way this week and hopefully play some finals.
Yeah,
but
be good.
We'll be heading off to America in October. So,
Where in the States, please?
Heading to Austin, New York, and Los Angeles.
Austin?
Yeah.
That's not far from where your captain, or former captain,
goes. Yeah, about an hour away from there, I think.
Is he wanting any of you to turn up, or is he telling you?
No, he hasn't invited any of us yet. He knows we're all going over there, though.
That's where all the unis are, isn't it?
Austin, too. Yeah, a big college, a ripping joint.
Oh, is Paddy McCartan gone?
I think he might be floating along.
Old, is he?
Old Floss.
Yeah. Oh, old Floss.
Old Floss going
to
drop in.
I wonder if he's been allowed to go. Have you seen him around? Has he been trained? He seemed to have dropped a bit of weight.
He's actually really fit. Yeah. He's probably, I think, the fittest he has been in his whole career. Good. It's just unfortunate that they can't get him out on the park.
No, so hopefully he'll be right next year. He'll come back nice and fit because it'd be good to see him kicking some goals.
No doubt about that. So
for the Cats.
I haven't finished with this trip, Bill.
Oh, sorry.
So Austin, Saints. Texas, what, a week?
I think we're there for like 6 days. And then, going over for the big festival. So
which festival?
Austin City Limits. So right. I think the Red Hot Chili Peppers are playing, which should be pretty good.
Nice. And then off to where after that?
Off to New York and Los Angeles.
Oh, hello. Yeah. And what sort of a posse are we rolling with? Yeah. How many bikes?
a couple of different groups, actually, with a few of the Saints boys in Austin and then a few of the Dogs boys in New York and LA.
Oh, nice.
Who do you travel? Who are your mates? Good mates?
I think Matty Suckling, Jason Johansson and Lockie Hunter are all heading over.
So you're going with blokes and none one from your club?
Hey?
Well, the boys from the club are in Austin.
The Saints in Austin and then a couple of the catch boys up. Over
did,
in...
Did you listen, Bill, to a word he just said?
Oh, I was just looking at Amelia.
Oh! Now, who's going to win it? You've played against all the teams that are in it. Who's the best team kicking around?
After playing against Sydney, I think they're the ones at the moment. The way they defend the ground is unbelievable. Just we played them over there, but after walking off that ground, I thought they're going to win the premiership.
They're going to win it. Mm. Yeah. Hey, how important are the line coaches? We all hear about the senior coaches, but you must get really tight with your line coaches, yeah?
Yeah, they're extremely important. Obviously, you know, we have a midfield group that Adam Kingsley runs, and then we have a development coach under that. So most of the week we spend all our time with them, and then, you know, we'll have our chats with Richo on that as well. But, we'll be spending most of the time with our line coaches.
Good reports on Kingsley.
Yeah, he's a very good coach.
He could coach senior footy?
I think so.
Straight in?
Yeah.
Mm. But what do you do a lot of the watch the TV and all that stuff? Yeah, the... What do you call it?
What are we talking about? The news about? Or
no, don't be the
reviewing tape.
Reviewing the tape.
Yeah,
yes,
it's a big part of footy these days. Obviously, you know, we have a massive review at the start of the week, and then we do all our individual edits as well.
Oh, right. Yeah. Have you got a missus?
No misses at the moment, no.
Hence the Austin bill.
I've seen him out before, Jim, and he just seems to have a couple there, here and there, one over there, one over there.
That's a bit of seems that is that is carry on.
Seems to do all right with for himself, Jim. I'll cope.
Please. Every time I come in here, you stitch me up.
But the name, too. Do you ever thought about changing Kobe?
What was that?
Well, it's a strange name. It's hard. If you met a girl and you say Kobe, they go, what? What's your name?
I actually don't mind the name. So.
I don't reckon the girls would either, Bill. You're the only one that's got an issue with it.
I don't like Kobe. I don't like some names.
Good luck on the weekend, mate. This is going to be good for you. Richmond MCG, finish with a bang, and then head off to Austin and have a ball.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Lord. Cheers.
Now on Triple M's Rush Hour.
They come from everywhere.
It's a beauty.
This is the Midweek Run.
AEG Power Tools, now with more than 30 heavy-duty tools.
Triple M rocks footy.
Love the midweek rub. The Chief comes in, Damo comes in, and we discuss everything that's massive about our fantastic game. Hello, boys.
Good afternoon, gentlemen, and everyone. Chief.
Now, Bill's got a special joke for you, Chief. He's prepared this one. He's warehoused it so that when it comes to the end of today's show,
Jim,
he's ready to go with it.
I'm here for half an hour, and you've just flattened me in the opening
Chief,
30 seconds.
What I'm trying to say is that he's given this one proper, sufficient preparation and thought.
Let's forget about that and just have a good chat.
I'll read it now, so you just have a chat. Hello, Damien. Oh,
hello, William and Chief.
Two guys. Jim. The cops
Have a listen to him. He's already preparing. He's that concerned about your critique of his joke that he's prepared this last week and got it ready for today. So that's coming in about 25 minutes time.
I thought you were a bit harsh on him yesterday, Jim. I thought his Donald Trump one wasn't too bad. And the long pause with the bear, I didn't mind
The long
it.
Pause is the foot's the fifth time he's told it.
Yeah, I think that might be the truth.
The big pause.
And he went for that as a third joke because the first two were that bad. Jake Stringer, interesting comments on the couch from you, Chief, as to what the Dogs should do with him.
Well, I'm not sitting here saying trade him. We throw things up as discussion points.
Yes.
And I don't know enough, unless you're at the club and you're seeing these people all the time. He's a terrific fellow, Jake Stringer. All I did was throw it up for debate. Would you trade him if it was going to land you a very early first-round pick? And I just haven't seen enough of him to know that he's going to play consistently at that 2015 level. So, and as we all do on these shows, Jim, we look for topics that will give us a good debate, a good in-depth discussion. You and do. I just think he's one of those. And there's a player like that at just about every club. Because if you want to get something, you've got to give something to get something, haven't you?
You do.
And it's a matter of working out, are we going to get the best out of him in the future? If not, What is the maximum we can get out of this person if we were to do a deal?
Well, you can single-handedly, Chief, take credit for what happened at Hawthorn when you turned it around in the early 2000s and led to the 2008 premiership.
You need to stop saying that.
If you were in the same situation at the Bulldogs now and were in charge of that list as you were at Hawthorn, would you personally make that decision on Jake Stringer?
The problem is I would have a much better grasp of whether I thought 2015 is the real Jake Stringer or that was a little bit above what he's going to play at consistently. So then you would be in a position to make that decision. So I can't sit here from outside and say, this is what I do. But they are the sort of people you would consider, is what I'm saying. Because the Bulldogs need to start going forward. Maybe they won one ahead of time last year, which was terrific. And I think they're
a bit like Hawthorn in 08,
yeah,
perhaps.
Exactly right. And perhaps they've had the down year, very much like Hawthorn. But you've got to keep improving just to keep pace with everyone else in the competition.
And Jim, you're a scientist in the list management space, in that it's always been an interest of yours. If you're smart and you go early on these types of decisions, you do get the reward, don't you? If you leave them and then it becomes 2 years down the track and then the currency's not there, the player's embedded in the club, and he might still be a very good player, and that may work out as well as also, but you are not ever going to get the same currency for someone like a Jake Stringer as you will in this current trade period.
And if
upcoming.
You've got a club come to you and they've got pick four or five and they go, we will do a deal with that pick for that bloke, as Chief knows, that might never happen again. That you might only get one crack at doing that. And you, so what you've got to have, and I've no idea whether that's open for Stringer, but let's say it is, you've got to have the minerals as a club to go, yep, bang. If we see something anywhere near that pick, we're taking it.
Or do you throw your arms around him, give him a bit of love because he can play?
There's no doubt he can play.
Oh, we all know that. So you show him a bit of love and he has a good year and
I would think that's what they're going to do. I would think that they
I suspect they'll do that as well.
Put 2017 into the it didn't work out for us category, and we're just going to regroup, start again, have a different mindset going into 2018, and therefore you want him part of it. But it will come up, Bill. We know that there's no question that's not asked about any player in the upcoming trade period.
And that's the point to consider. Make no mistake, there are discussions like this at every club, and you look at players on other lists, and you value them, and you work out what you'll give to get something, and it, as Jim said, it all comes down to whether you sit there and you've got the nerve to make a bold decision based on what you think will be best for the club going forward.
And the players are naive, Purple, if they think that doesn't happen. The famous conversation, as I understand it, that happened between Dennis Pagan and Brett Ellison, I think 4 years in a row, where he said, we love what you do, but don't get me wrong, if we get the right deal for you, you're out of here.
Did he?
But why?
And Fruity said, no, I understand that, and went and played in two premierships and was a terrific player, but was very clearly understood as to what was the potential to happen.
And it's a double-edged sword now, isn't it? And the players need to be mindful of that because there are also players that are going to clubs, well, how are we going to have success here in the future? I want to know what you're going to do to make sure I'm part of a successful team. And if not, I'll chase money at a better club and those sorts of things. So if the players are going to have the freedom to do that, the clubs also have to have the freedom to make those basic deals.
And when you say that, Jim, as you did a minute ago about the players being aware of that, well, that's why I've got no issue with Dustin Martin doing what he's doing right now. It's a mercenary type of approach, but so too is cutting a player when he doesn't want to be cut. And again, there's vindictiveness comes into it, and I've just said, and I'll maintain it, it is a percentage of what happened in 2013, end of, when that got pretty messy between Richmond and Dustin Martin, and I know he's re-signed since that moment, but there is an element of that right now at play that, hey, when it was really nasty for me back then, you took your initial back off the table. You put it back on, but you took it off at one stage. So it's all part of what I think that the landscape is right now.
Oh, no doubt. And the managers, and I don't know Dusty's manager at all.
Ralph.
Never met the bloke, but I know there's that famous example at Manchester United when Sir Alex Ferguson marched that bloke out as an 18-year-old and told his manager, not only can you ship off, but so can you. And he went and played for, I think, Barcelona or one of the big European clubs, and then they bought him back for $130 million. And the manager said, I'm not doing it until I see Sir Alex Ferguson in this room so I can look him in the eye. So they don't forget either. No.
What's he worth, Chief? What is Dusty Martin worth?
Are you talking money?
Yep.
Well, it's going to take the sort of figures they're talking about, surely.
1.5.
Well, he's going to get 1 point something low, isn't he, to stay there? So
the talk now, Bill and Chief and Jim, 1.2 to stay, which is significantly up on about 800 that they started with at the start of this year.
So it needs to be something like 1.5 to make him want to go. And I think Richmond's been fantastic for Dusty Martin.
Yeah, so do I.
And I think that'll weigh heavily in his decision-making process about how good the structure at Richmond has been for him. But then you also have to sit there and say, well, what's my earning capacity over the career, and what am I going to do post-football, and how can I best set myself up for myself and my family? Yep. So all those things come into consideration.
Interesting question, Chief, for me and Damo, is the best player in the comp worth 1.5? In other words, should the best player earn that? And I don't think many dispute that he is the best player in footy. Should he earn
that? Well, one of. And there would have been, it's probably only 12 months ago or so that I would have said probably no. But with the increases in the salary cap now, I think everything's a little bit relative, isn't it? So 1.5 was probably the 1.2 of a couple of years.
That's right. Would you, Jim, if you were still in charge of North Melbourne, be endorsing this project?
If you had the room and it wasn't going to compromise what you were going to do with your list going forward.
It's a lot of money for
one player.
But you got the room,
The
thing
Jim.
They were very good at North Melbourne during those prelim years was not tipping into overpaying. So they absolutely have got a lot of room, as I understand. And as Chief said, with the additional salary cap coming into the latest players' agreement, I think they've got lots of room. And as long as you sit down and you say, well, it's not going to stop you from doing what you want to do with your list going forward, that's obviously important. If it is going to stop you from doing that, then I would say no. But if it isn't, charge your hardest.
Chief, you heard the big news during the week that Jimmy Boy here will be calling football on TV again.
I did hear this. Now, Channel 7. Now, Bill, the question I have for you.
Yes.
And we need to find out from Jim, is this a one-off or is this the lead into something bigger?
Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's a freebie up front. The old freebie,
Jim's never done a freebie.
This one
100%
is.
100% freebie.
You've never, ever done
Chief,
one.
Chief, lots. And I'm doing one in 2 weeks' time for a great cause.
Gee, this must be an unusual feeling.
But you know what happens, Chief?
You've never ever done it.
I'm a giver, Chief.
Chief. Oh, my goodness. Say, Chief.
Never, and look at Warrior Larry.
But you know what he does? Freebie first up, and then next year, bang.
Show me the money.
3 or 5 year deal. And we've got a media release.
Now, Jim. Absolute rubbish.
This is
today. Hang on. But just before we move on, let's please have an honest answer.
I'm giving you honesty, Chief.
So the boss rang you.
Yes.
And spoke about doing this game.
That's it.
Have you since been for a meeting with him?
Yes.
Face to face?
At 7 with the whole group of them to talk about how they want this game to go.
Aside from this game, Jim?
That's what I had a meeting about, Chief.
Have you spoken about any? Have you spoken about anything else?
No, Chief.
Look at him trying
Chief.
To keep
I have spoken
face.
About
Look
nothing
Look at Warrior,
Chief.
Does not believe him.
Oh, Chief, my antenna went straight up on Saturday.
Same.
When BT dropped this as a bomb, it just went whoom.
Now, a media release from Chief.
Sorry, go on.
A media release.
Stop talking like that, Damo.
From the 7 Network here. Legends line up for EJ Witten special on 7. Brian Taylor, Tim Watson, Wayne Carey, Luke Darcy, Brendan Favola and Jonathan Brown set to deliver all the action
there
and entertainment.
So that's it, Bill.
You're not even in it.
That's
then,
exactly
then
right.
Par 1, par 2, par 3, par 4, par 5.
Five.
Brian Taylor and James Brayshaw will lead the call.
Exactly that's as it should be.
That's what they say is a soft launch, Bill.
That's a very soft launch.
Chief, it's not about me. It's about the cause
the
and the game.
The of 7 going forward.
It's the cause and the game.
Oh. Well, you started at 7.
Okay, let me ask
you?
Someone that knows. Warrior, what are your thoughts about what's going to come out of this?
I feel it's the starting point to something far more significant. Not just in match calling, but maybe programming.
And it would be great to see you back calling the game because you enjoy doing
it. I do love calling TV footy, and now I am being serious.
And you started with 7, Jim. It'd be a bit of sort of symmetry to
2006 was the last game I think 9 did on with that deal, and then haven't had it since. That's 11 years.
And certainly a couple of spots there open.
Yep. Well, now you're being mischievous.
I'm not. I'm just saying.
How do you know there are any spots?
I'm just saying they need to dust. They need to dust a couple. And maybe get some new bloody.
You're using this as a platform now to drive your own and Fox footy agenda.
Not
look
at
him.
And Jim,
not at all.
Fair to say, you need a bit extra cash.
That bit might be. All right, we need to get to a break. More after this with these two clowns.
This is the Midweek Run.
AEG Power Tools, now with more than 30 heavy-duty tools.
Triple M rocks footy.
This is the Midweek Rub for AEG Power Tools on Triple M. You've got James Brayshaw with Billy Brown. It's also joined by Jason Dunstall and Damien Barrett.
Yes, and Chief, as a former superstar forward, you would have loved, as I think we all did, Jesse Hogan on the weekend.
Oh,
the way he went about it, that's the way he got around.
Yep.
I mean, he just had the ping and the presence.
Yes, we all loved it.
Wasn't it good?
And he played like a traditional forward, like we see, and that's why Josh Kennedy has all of a sudden missed a few games and still going to win the Coleman medal, because he plays that traditional role. Deep in the forward 50, take the clunks, go back and kick the goal. It's fun to watch.
It is. Staggering only missed the 2 games, Jim, wasn't it?
Amazing.
From that
broken collarbone
down at Geelong. He could hardly get himself off the off the ground that day, could he?
But it just looked to me, Chief, if that's what he brings to Melbourne over these next 5 years, and that's the ability he's got, what a great ride he's going to give the fans of that club. Because I was saying to Duck earlier in the week, he looks to me like he plays with great instinct. You get some forwards that just do the team thing and run the patterns and are brilliant because of that. This bloke is capable of anything.
Instinct and a touch of arrogance, which I like, which means he knows what he's capable of. And if he gets a good, clear run at it, good, consistent fitness about it, I think we might see a pretty good
player. Like your good self. You're arrogant.
You had a bit of arrogance.
Yeah, you did.
I had zero arrogance.
Oh. You were a bit more disciplined in your
Mr.
patterns.
Humility. That
you
club,
were arrogant.
Lots of arrogance.
You're kidding.
All those Hawthorn supporters.
What?
Those old ladies used to sign stuff for.
Those old ladies you used to sign stuff for.
All their duffel coats and things and told them, no, I've had enough now and walk off.
Never, ever happened. You are making stuff up now.
I saw you do it one day, Steve.
That is a complete lie.
No, Damien
It was a practice game.
He saw you.
Lie.
Who was that? Paul Cooper?
Yeah.
You and who just snuck around the back. They didn't want his signature, but they wanted yours.
Damien saw you.
I saw you, Chief.
Yeah. That is
so you shouldn't
trying
make that
to
up.
Find the right way into a venue when you have commitments like playing is different than just torturing people.
It was
people.
Post-match, and I don't think
please,
you even played
come
this
on,
game.
Chief,
tell me about what's happening.
Just before we move off the D's, Jim, no tougher player in the whole comp than Jack Viney. But the foot injury that he rushed himself back for is clearly causing some issues. And is in some doubt to play again this weekend, and hopefully that will be it because of the
got
break
the
in the finals scheduling as it now is in play. But again, they could lose that game on the weekend to Collingwood and still get in.
Yes.
They wouldn't want to do that, but that's what could happen. So hopefully that clears it up for him. But clearly when he did come back the way he did with the serious surgery around it, it was a surprise when he came back and he played so well in that first game back, but there's been ramifications as a result.
Speaking of Collingwood, what do you make of all of the stuff? Firstly, Ed this morning talking about leaks out of the board and photos of what was on the board for a board discussion. And then, of course, Simon Lethlean, which we discussed on Saturday, maybe being in the running for the CEO role. Let's start with the document table by Jeff Walsh and where that leaves Nathan Buckley and all of that.
Yeah, look, what they've done really well is just stick to the time plan and time frame around which they've said they would. So I think that's a real big tick. Last night, they were going to discuss it for the first time. I think anyone who claims to have to use the AFL terminology, Jim, a line of sight on it outside the club is making it up because they haven't thrashed it out to this point. And I think that obviously that will happen between now and post the weekend's game, and something will happen within the 7 days of that round 23. The feeling I get, it's my opinion is that his time would have been up after he got to 5 wins, 10 losses this year, but my feeling around it now is that he will be surviving and having some support around it. That's a feeling only. I'm not presenting that as anything other than a gut feel around what's happening. But again, it's like anyone else, Chief. It's effectively a guess.
So he stays, righto. What do you reckon, Chief? Gut feeling, because we don't know.
It's all it is. It's a gut
feeling. No, we don't know. But I definitely think the school of thought has shifted back towards him staying as all opposed to where it was.
Are you, Jim, the same? I'm writing these down. We're going to go have a look at these later.
I always wonder why you would have such a public review of your core business and then not do anything on the back of it.
Right.
I think they've got to do something. This is the biggest club in the comp. They've had 5 straight years now out of the finals, I think.
On the slide.
I would be staggered if something didn't shake out. Right. Tell me about Simon Lethlean, who I have huge regard for.
I think the time is okay. I mean, I think initially when the AFL made the decision to make him resign from that position over the extramarital affairs, there was a perception that it needed a bit of a break. But I reckon there's going to be no backlash at all publicly for him coming back.
No.
And we've all discussed it regularly on Triple M platforms, Chief, that this was an act that was not illegal, and it was between consenting adults with intelligence. And I think that's the way the whole footy community has judged it. Is seriously an elite footy talent in that administration space. And
do you think he's the favourite for the job or just one of the contenders?
I think it's one of the contenders, but I think if Ed likes what he hears in the conversation he's clearly had with him, I would say that he would become very quickly favourite, and then
very
it's up
qualified.
To him because I don't think he's going to be short on office, and this is as good an offer. This is as big a club, and you talk about having a big role in administration at the AFL. Well, this one is equally as big, and clearly capable of it, Jim.
Getting back to Nathan Buckley, and I hope he stays, by the way, because I'm a big
fan of his.
No,
I've got you down,
he's
gone, and I'm
shut
gone.
Up, Bill. What I would like to ask you, Damo, is even if he is, let's say they make the decision to move him on and get someone else, The AFL world is at Nathan Buckley's feet. I don't think there's been any collateral damage to his brand almost at all.
No.
He could wander into AFL House and do a number of jobs in there, wander back into the media, television and radio. It looks to me like, were he not to coach Collingwood, there's lots of stuff he could do in a heartbeat.
I actually have a view that he's as good as anyone in the media while he's still coaching. I love listening to him. I don't agree with everything you've said this year, particularly about accreditation, but hey, he's got an opinion and he expresses it absolutely beautifully and with thought before delivering it. It will, in terms of a brand, Jim, hurt because he has set himself up and has desperately sought to be coached, not just of AFL club, but of Collingwood. And that has been his dream. It's why the whole agreement was put in place. When you offered him the job.
Is it 5 minutes of hurt? Or I don't see it being a sustainable hit.
Yeah, and I suppose the flip side to it is, and you discuss this regularly, don't you, the lack of pressure that you've then got when you're not a coach, and that's such a good thing, that you're not absolutely immersed in it, that could well become something very quickly that counteracts that initial disappointment.
If he was to leave Collingwood, what about future coaching aspirations?
I reckon it's a Michael Voss type scenario. Now, it won't have ended as shockingly quickly as not Michael Voss, but do we know he can coach? I reckon that's part of this review, Jim. Obviously, do we actually know if Nathan Buckley can coach? And I don't think 6 years in we do. So why would another club invest faith and hope in him when the club at which gave him the chance made that decision on him as well? Not saying he can't, but that would be my take.
And that interests me, Chief, because I would have thought Brett Ratton and Michael Voss left senior coaching jobs and did exactly what they needed to do. Yep. Go into another system, go back, take a step back as an assistant. It staggers me with the new jobs coming up that those two aren't front and centre in everyone's conversations, but they're not.
I agree. And Brett Ratton in particular, if you remember, took a team to the finals.
Absolutely.
Mm. And then was gone.
Yeah. Matty Knight.
I think Vossie did too, didn't he?
Yeah. Vossie, season his in the first finals, year in the finals. Yeah.
Matty Knight's another one.
They just seem to be, coach. They go back, do exactly what you should do.
They should be better second time around.
I would have thought.
No absolutely. Doubt they would be.
Anything else, Purple, before Bill? Now, I'm a bit concerned about Bill.
So am I.
Anything else we need to discuss?
I just think Ross Lyon's been very fortunate that he is in Perth this week because consecutive 100-point losses for a coach in Melbourne, I don't know whether he'd survive the week, Jim, in a form. I'm not saying you'd sack him, but it would have been a whole lot more torrid than what he's clearly copped, given that those two consecutive 100-point losses are also added to another 100-point loss in the past 11 weeks.
Mm. Stevie J play this week?
Heard he's training. He's in town, and I reckon he will.
Will he play finals? Only.
I've got a strong view that if he's fit and declares himself fit, you just play him, and you work a way for that to happen.
I'll tell you what will be interesting this week. Tomahawk's back. Guess who he plays on? Phil Davis. Don't touch him. Oh, go down.
I feel sorry for Phil. People like you have given him a bad reputation, Bill.
Have I? Yeah.
You and Lingy.
Hasn't done it himself.
Dev Smith just wandered back into that forward half of GWS and did a nice little job, Bill.
He did.
That's what might make old Chompers stay awake a little bit later
and
at night.
Deledio has
enough. Deledio's kicked goals there too. As well. They've got an embarrassment of riches, Chief, I haven't seen in a club for almost my whole time.
No, and they're just starting to come right for finals. So I think it'll be a really interesting. You'd love to be a fly on the wall at that match committee meeting, whether Steve Johnson actually gets picked.
Well, and Lobb can't even get back in. Can he really? Because they've got Cameron and they've got Patton.
So many different options.
Wow.
Imagine the other, there's probably two or three other clubs in that same match committee that might have similar conversations, Purple, but there's 14 that would sit there salivating at that match committee going, are you seriously leaving that bloke out?
Yeah, that's right.
You're not picking him?
Yeah.
He's in our best team every day of the week.
Yeah, but as soon as he gets left out of a final, whichever players you're talking about, don't their managers get a few calls
Thought, Chief.
All the teams just trying to snaffle a couple.
Yep. All right. Very nice to see
everyone,
of course. Now, Bill.
Come on.
You've done a lot of preparation here, so we want you to get this right.
Is it clean?
No.
Yeah. In the day with a laugh. This is Billy's joke. Melbourne Brick. 30% off first quality 500x500 Melbourne stone pavers. Offer in soon.
Two guys were picked up by the cops for smoking dope. Damo in his heyday, and appeared in court before the judge. The judge said, "You seem nice men. I want to give you a second chance. So go out there this weekend and try to show others the evils of drug use, and come back to me and report back on Monday." Monday, the two guys come back into court, Chiefy, and the judge says to the first one, "How did you go over the weekend?" "Well, Your Honour, I persuaded 17 people to give up drugs forever."
17 people. That's wonderful. What did you tell them? Well, I used a diagram, Your Honour. I drew two circles like this, a big circle and a little circle. And I told them that the big circle is your brain before drugs and the little circle is your brain after drugs. That's fantastic, said the judge. Well done to you. How did you go? He said to the second guy. Well, Your Honour, I persuaded 156 people to give up drugs forever. 156? Oh, that is great. Amazing. How did you manage to do that? Well, I used the same two circles, Your Honour. I pointed to the small circle and told them, this is your bum before you go to prison.
Oh, no, Bill. Oh, come on. Bill. Oh, no.
And this is...
Hey, no, Bill.
You don't need to go on with it, Bill.
That's the end of the joke. Oh, no.
Little oh, Bill. Bill. Bill.
That's
enough.
It, Bill.
Enough.
That's
I get it. I get it.
Oh, no.
Was he allowed to run with it?
Chief.
Did you get that legal, Bill?
Who?
Oh,
Bill.
Damien, oh, no. What do you think?
I would have got that vetted.
You didn't run it by anyone?
Yes, Jim.
Oh, he ran it by me.
Jim said yes, go
oh,
for it.
Oh, yeah, of course I did.
Go your hardest, he said, plastic. Son. Go your hardest.
He tried to finish it, Chief. Now, he tried to finish the joke special. Verbally.
Chief, thank you, Bill. Look at Chief.
What was the biggest circle?
Oh, no.
This is
Chief.
Woo!
Finish up tonight, Bill. Yo, I'm giving it a lot of thought.
What are you going with?
Where have you been stuck unusual?
Oh, Bill! No! No, Jim!
Bill!
That is mine! I patented that!
That was the Rush Hour Catch-Up.
There's not enough O's in the world, Smooth.
Get even more of JB and Billy by subscribing to the Rush Hour podcast on iTunes.